Hello and welcome to Arxiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new Arxiv paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. The paper we're looking at today is VRM, Teaching Reward Models to Understand Authentic Human Preferences on Arxiv. We're talking about this now because teams are increasingly relying on reward models inside RLHF and related pipelines,
and small mismatches between what a reward model thinks people want and what people actually want lead to big practical headaches, tone issues, unsafe outputs, or gaming of shortcuts. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark will look at it from the field and real-world usage, and Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
Thanks, Alex. On the ground, I see three recurring problems. First, reward models trained on generic or synthetic preferences miss subtle contextual human judgments, so customer-facing assistants sound off-brand or tone-deaf. Second, models learn shortcuts that score well on the proxy reward but fail safety or factual checks, increasing moderation load. Third, teams spend lots of cycles relabeling edge cases because the reward signal doesn't reflect real user priorities. For today's episode, I expect we'll hear whether VRM reduces those mismatches and how practical it is to adopt in existing pipelines.
So basically, you're seeing misalignment show up as tone problems, safety misses, and a lot of rework. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
Good question. Two drivers. First, RLHF and preference-based training have scaled to production, so the limitations of simple preference datasets are now visible. Models exploit shortcuts or overfit to annotation artifacts. Second, we have better tooling and more diverse data sources to train reward models that capture richer, multi-turn, and context-aware preferences. VRM appears as an attempt to teach reward models to recognize what the authors call authentic human preferences rather than proxies, leveraging richer inputs and training protocols to reduce those shortcut failures. At a high level, the paper proposes VRM, a training approach for reward models that aims to capture what the authors call authentic human preferences. Concretely, instead of training on narrow, synthetic, or decontextualized preference labels, VRM trains the reward model with richer signals, multi-turn dialogue context, pairwise rankings, short explanations or annotations, and curated examples that expose common shortcut behaviors. It plugs into RLHF or any preference-based fine-tuning pipeline as the reward scorer used to rank or weight model outputs. But the training objective and data curation are designed to reduce proxy shortcuts and better reflect nuance across contexts. Compared to prior work, VRM emphasizes higher quality, context-aware preference data and training procedures that regularize against exploiting annotation artifacts. So the learned reward aligns more closely with genuine user judgments rather than superficial cues.
So in plain terms, they're trying to teach the reward model to care about the same subtle, context-dependent things a real person would. Not the easy-to-learn shortcuts that score well but feel wrong. It's meant to replace or improve the reward score inside RLHF-type workflows. Mark, say what this would change in actual usage.
Practically, the immediate change is in data and expectations. Teams would move from single-turn synthetic preference labels to collecting multi-turn comparisons and annotator explanations for edge cases. That means higher annotation costs up front, clearer annotation guidelines, and product teams needing to own preference definitions. The upside: fewer repeated relabel cycles, less time fixing tone and safety misses, and a reward model that requires fewer ad hoc hacks during deployment.
To add a bit more on the mechanism, VRM uses the richer inputs I mentioned: pairwise rankings over multi-turn responses, short free text rationales, and adversarial or counterfactual examples that reveal shortcuts. Training-wise, it's still a supervised signal for a reward network, but with losses and regularization that prioritize consistency with held-out human judgments and penalize features tied to known annotation artifacts. In practice, you can fine-tune existing reward architectures. The novelty is in the data design and the training protocol that encourages true preference signals rather than proxies. Compared to baselines trained on simple pairwise labels, VRM-trained models should be more robust in multi-turn dialogue and less likely to be gamed by spurious cues.
Jamie, quick follow-up. Does this need a whole new model class or massive extra compute, or is it mostly about better data and training choices?
Mostly the latter. The paper's approach centers on data curation and training objectives, so you can implement VRM with standard reward model architectures and existing fine-tuning stacks. There is extra annotation cost and some additional compute for the fine-tuning and validation steps, especially if you include adversarial examples or held-out calibration sets, but you don't need a fundamentally new model class. The trade-off is engineering and labeling effort for a clearer, more reliable reward signal.
Operationally, that means teams should budget for more structured annotation workflows, involve product and UX to define authentic preferences, and add validation gates that test for shortcut exploitation. It's a bit more work up front, but for teams where nuanced tone, safety, or brand alignment matter, the reduced downstream triage and higher trust in automated scoring can be worth it.
If we applied it in a real team, Mark, what would it look like?
Start simple, a customer support assistant pilot. Scope a single channel, billing questions, for example. Collect multi-turn transcripts where agents handled tricky tone or escalation, then have annotators provide pairwise preferences between model replies, plus a short rationale for why one reply fits the brand or customer needs better. Fine-tune the reward model with those signals and use it to re-rank candidates or steer decoding. The operational win is quick. Fewer escalations, more on-brand tone, and less manual moderation because the reward model captures those subtle preferences.
So a focused pilot on one use case, collect real multi-turn examples and rationales, then use VRM to rank or steer replies. Mark, now paint the advanced picture. What does a full production deployment look like?
In production, you scale that workflow across departments, support, sales, HR, while keeping privacy and compliance in mind. You need an annotation pipeline, onboarding guidelines, sampling rules to pick diverse conversations, an adjudication step for edge cases and secure storage. Add continuous feedback, logs of real user reactions, explicit thumbs up down, and periodic targeted annotation of failure modes. Set monitoring dashboards for preference accuracy, distribution shift, and safety flags. Operational ownership should be cross-functional. Product owns the preference definitions. ML ops run the training and deployment. UX designs annotation tasks, and legal privacy vets data collection. Also define rollback triggers. If reward calibration drops or safety metrics regress, automatically revert to the previous policy and trigger an incident review.
Got it. Cross-functional ownership, continuous feedback, clear rollback gates. Jamie from the Paper Mechanics, how does VRM support this kind of stable cross-department deployment?
VRM helps in three ways. First, richer inputs. Multi-turn context, pairwise rankings, and short rationales make the reward signal align better across domains, which improves generalization when you move from one department to another. Second, the training protocol uses held-out calibration sets and adversarial examples to penalize shortcut features, so updates are less likely to break previously aligned behaviors. Third, the authors show that targeting high-quality, informative examples plus active sampling yields better sample efficiency. You need fewer annotated examples if they're chosen to expose shortcuts. Practically, that means more stable updates, fewer surprises when deploying to new contexts, and smaller annotation budgets if you use targeted sampling.
Jamie, quick follow-up. What does sample efficiency look like in practice? How much data are we realistically talking about?
The paper emphasizes quality over raw volume. You want thousands, not millions, of targeted multi-turn comparisons for a domain-specific pilot. Think 5K to 20K high-quality labeled comparisons depending on diversity. Use iterative active learning. Start small, identify failure modes with adversarial sampling, annotate those, and repeat. That reduces total labeling while hitting the critical edge cases that cause shortcuts.
From an org perspective that maps to a phased rollout, Phase 1, a 5K example pilot to prove value. Phase 2, expand to 20K across a few departments. And Phase 3, go enterprise-wide. Use internal annotators for sensitive content and vendors for scale where privacy allows. Monitor KPIs weekly during pilot. Preference agreement with gold standard annotators, user escalation rate, and safety incidents. Define retraining cadence, monthly or triggered by drift, and clear rollback rules tied to the monitoring thresholds Jamie mentioned.
So start narrow, iterate with active sampling, expand, and have monitoring plus rollback baked in. Mark, last quick practical question. Who should lead the pilot inside an organization?
Lead it with a product manager who owns the user outcomes, partnered with an ML lead to run the VRM training and validation. Add UX to design annotation tasks and legal privacy to approve data flows. That cross-functional core can run a focused 6 to 8 week pilot and decide whether to scale.
Technically, the paper is explicit about prerequisites. You need high-quality, domain-relevant data, multi-turn transcripts, pairwise comparisons, short free text rationales, and curated adversarial examples. Annotation protocols matter. Clear guidelines, adjudication for disagreements, and annotator training are required. On the model side, VRM fine-tunes standard reward architectures, usually transformer encoders that take context and response and output a scalar reward. So no exotic model class is mandated. Evaluation uses held-out calibration sets, adversarial test suites, and human judgment agreement metrics. Computationally, expect extra fine-tuning and validation passes and some cost for adversarial example generation and calibration, but nothing like training a foundation model from scratch. The authors call out limitations: generalization across cultures or domains, potential cultural bias in what counts as authentic, scalability of annotation, and that VRM can only be as good as the annotation quality. They also suggest future work on automated selection of informative examples and better cross-cultural calibration.
So in short, you need better, more carefully labeled data, standard reward models can be reused, and the main pain points are annotation effort and ensuring the evaluation really tests those shortcut failures. Jamie, what did they actually report when they ran experiments?
The paper evaluates VRM on several controlled setups: domain-specific multi-turn dialogue corpora, synthetic adversarial sets designed to expose shortcut behaviors, and human preference benchmarks. Metrics include pairwise preference accuracy, correlation metrics like Kendall's tau for ranking quality, and human faithfulness checks, e.g., how often outputs judged high by the reward model match independent human judgments. Compared to baselines trained on simpler pairwise labels, VRM shows consistent improvements in preference accuracy and faithfulness, and fewer safety or off-brand failures in the adversarial sets. The evaluations are mostly controlled with human annotators and targeted adversarial sampling. There are limited or no large-scale live A/B tests reported, so results are promising, but in a lab-style setting.
Translated for product folks: in their tests, VRM made the reward scorer agree more often with humans and caught many of the edge case failures that standard training missed. That should mean fewer misranked replies, fewer off-brand or unsafe answers slipping through, and better alignment with what your users expect, at least in the same domain and on similar data. Mark, what should teams realistically expect when they try this in production?
Realistically, expect some gap versus paper numbers. In the lab, they control sampling and annotation quality. In production, you'll face distribution shift, noisy user signals, and annotation variance. Early pilots will likely show smaller absolute gains and reveal new failure modes not covered in paper datasets. Operationally, you'll need robust sampling to capture drift, frequent targeted re-annotation, and stronger QA to keep the reward model calibrated. Also, budget for the human effort, annotators, adjudicators, and PM UX time to define preferences, which often surprises teams.
Can you be specific about the org and process changes teams need to make this workable?
Sure. First, set up an annotation pipeline: onboarding docs, quality checks, conflict resolution, and secure data handling. Second, create a monitoring stack: metrics for preference agreement with gold annotators, user escalation rate, and safety flags. Third, governance: product owns preference definitions, legal privacy vets data flow, and ML ops owns retraining and rollback automation. Practically, run a small pilot with internal annotators or trusted vendors, define clear success thresholds, and automate rollbacks if calibration or safety metrics degrade.
Adding to that from a technical angle, VRM helps, but it doesn't eliminate cultural and bias issues. If your annotator pool lacks diversity, the reward model will inherit those biases. Scalability is another constraint. Annotating tens of thousands of targeted comparisons is feasible, but not trivial. the authors suggest active sampling to reduce labels, and future work could automate rationale extraction or align cross-cultural norms. But for now, you should treat VRM as a higher quality, higher cost signal rather than a drop-in zero effort fix.
How much should teams plan for in time and money for an initial pilot, roughly?
A reasonable pilot is 6 to 8 weeks. Budget for 5K, 10K high-quality multi-turn comparisons to start, which could cost on the order of a few thousand to tens of thousands of dollars, depending on annotator rates and whether content is sensitive. Compute costs for fine-tuning are moderate. Fine-tuning a reward model on that scale is cheap relative to base model training, but include overhead for validation, adversarial example generation, and monitoring infrastructure.
So practical next steps. Pick a narrow, high-impact domain. Support billing, moderation triage, define success metrics up front, run a 5K example internal annotation pilot, use active sampling to find failure modes, and put monitoring and rollback in place before widening scope. Keep legal and UX in the loop from day one. That sequence minimizes risk while showing whether VRM delivers the operational benefits the paper suggests. From the field, teams that run nuance-sensitive workloads, customer support, content moderation, personalized assistance, and any product where tone or safety matters, benefit most, provided they can invest in annotation capacity, clear preference definitions, and governance. My practical recommendation is a narrow pilot. Pick a single domain, run a 5K, 10K example annotation phase over 6 to 8 weeks, use active sampling to find failure modes, and measure escalation and preference agreement KPIs. Trade-off. Higher upfront annotation and coordination costs, but you usually save time and risk downstream by reducing tone mistakes, safety slips, and repeated relabel cycles.
Technically, VRM is a useful pattern, but not a silver bullet. Its gains rely on annotator diversity, strong guidelines, and adversarial sampling. Teams should instrument preference agreement, holdout calibration, and adversarial test suites as part of the pilot. Expect to monitor calibration and drift, plan a retraining cadence, and accept that cultural biases and coverage gaps will need governance and iterative fixes. VRM makes alignment more practical, but it requires ongoing care.
One sentence. VRM gives teams a practical, data- and training-focused way to make reward models reflect authentic, context-sensitive human preferences. Trading upfront annotation and engineering effort for more reliable, on-brand, and safer outputs. To finish, a quick reminder. The English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on mbilotti.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArxivLLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.